Father God, we thank you so much for your word, and we ask you by the power of your spirit, you'd illuminate your word to us, that above everything else, we would know that you are God, and beside you, there is no other. We would know that your word is true and real. And by the power of your spirit, you would teach us the things that we ought to know, that you chase away foolishness and simplicity from our hearts and our minds, that as your word goes forth and really convicts us, God, may we receive what you have for us and help us not to fight it with our flesh, God. It's such a challenge to have your word just tattoo us and just to receive it. Thank you, God, for your word of reproof, for correction and instruction. We want to be workmen, not afraid. So be with us, Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, we pray, amen. So since, again, we are going through the book of Proverbs, if you've not been here, I do want to reiterate this again because it's really important. If you're new to church, if you're new to Scripture, you read through the book of Proverbs and it's really, really challenging to receive it because everything we're going to read, like most everything, you failed in. And it's good when you go to church and you hear a story and you hear this and you hear that, and all of a sudden the pastor says something, you're like, oh, that was for me. It hurt my heart, but I can receive it. You're going to have that happen 38 times tonight. Okay? And it's because the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's called the wisdom book. And the more you read it, you're like, well, I failed that one. Well, I failed that one too. I failed that one too. Well, look at that. I failed that one too. And you have the opportunity to receive what God has for you and change, or you can completely shut down and go, well, if that's the way God's going to be and just put me down every second, that is not what the book of Proverbs is designed for. The book of Proverbs is wisdom for the wise. If you're willing to listen, he's willing to teach. If you're not willing to listen, well, the universe has a way of correcting its own. The universe, the world calls karma. We know it is what we call the chastening of the Lord. You break the law of God, you will suffer the consequences, and God is always there to rescue you. What we're going to see tonight is some wisdom. And you could receive it and change. Now, here's the crazy thing. If we did chapter 13 again, like we did last week, you'd hear all new things. Because every single time you read the book of Proverbs, even the very proverb that you're reading is different by the time you're finished reading it to the situation and circumstances you're in. Now, those of us that have gone through the book of Proverbs multiple times know what I'm saying. Those that are new to Scripture are like, dude, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's okay. You will. You will. Receive one or two things tonight, and you've done something probably you've never done before. Understand, it's an opportunity for change, not an accusation to put down. Okay, we all got that? Okay. Chapter 14 of the book of Proverbs, verse 1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Now, that's every dude's favorite verse to throw at his wife. But if I was a woman, honestly, I'd read that and I'd have to ask myself, what is it that I'm doing that's messing up my house? You know, at what point in time am I going to get my moods under control? And it's not coincidental that every month at the same time, me and my man aren't getting along. It's not coincidental that we stumble over the same thing. You know, I seen a friend yesterday. He came by my farm. I haven't seen him in almost 20 years. I said, what you been doing? He goes, well, I quit drinking. I was like, well, bro, congrats. He goes, yeah, it's the craziest thing. I never made any good decisions when I was drunk. Really? Remember, me and my wife were in the world. You know, we had that come to that conclusion, even in the world, to say to ourselves, listen, every time we drink, we fight. Why don't we not drink anymore? Nah, we have too much fun. Verse 2, he who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. If you're on my text chain, you'll notice that that was part of the morning verse. It's the craziest thing. When you love God and choose to walk in righteousness, people will hate you. And you know who hates you? The most wicked of the land. Hate that guy. Why do you hate him? It's like that whole thing I didn't understand. Every time I read through Matthew 27, 28, and 29, I always hope the story's going to end different. Like, oh, they're not going to crucify him this time because he didn't do nothing wrong. But every single time I read it, they crucify him. And it always bothers, like, I feel like Pontius Pilate. What evil has he done? Why are you doing? The man didn't do anything. But what did the Lord say? If they hated you, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. So if you're in work and you got somebody there who hates you, if you have a member of your family that hates you, why are you surprised? You love the Lord. They're going to hate you. Don't like try to roll it over your head too much. The world is going to hate you if you love the Lord. And here's the crazy thing. The more you love the Lord, the more the world hates you. But as I've said, and please remember this. When I heard this, I remembered this immediately. And I was like, man, I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life. A pastor one time, I was watching him teach, and he said, you know, on the outside, when the world hates a Christian, they wait for you to mess up. They go, oh, yeah, there he is. Yeah, I saw you drinking, Christian boy. But on the inside, they're dying. They're crying. They're like, if it doesn't work for him, then it won't work for me. They're looking for somebody it works for, not somebody it doesn't work for. So their disappointment is more than their anger, but they don't show it on the outside of the world. On the outside, they mock you. Oh, see, Christian. But on the inside, they're dying. That's why we got to be holy, guys. That's why we got to never let our guard down. We can't slip and slide and whatever else you want to call it. Verse 3, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Anybody want to take a shot at that one? That's pretty obvious. Anybody? Joey always got a good comment on some Bible stuff. Joe? Think about it for a second. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride. What happens with a rod? You get whacked over the head, right? But the lips of the wise? Indeed. Indeed. What's that? A Chinese proverb I always quote? It's better to be silent and thought of a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Get it? No? Oh, this is my favorite verse. Verse 4 is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Where the oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Anybody? Well, you know, I've never seen that one bit. That's phenomenal. I love that. It's a great interpretation, but more literal of a translation. Oh, Drew? Did you have a, because I always used it as an excuse. Go ahead. You guys understand what he's saying? You go into my truck and it's filthy. And my wife will get in my truck, I go, your truck is filthy. And I say, where the trough is clean, no oxen dwell. But much increase comes with the strength of an ox. So my dirty truck is my verse 4 excuse. Well, of course my truck's dirty. Duh, there's oxen that eat here. And oxen give me strength to make the money that you like to spend at Publix. You guys get that now? Isn't that interesting?
I like that one.
Yes, my love. Do you guys see what just happened here? Three interpretations, all completely different, yet all dead on. That is the magic of God's word, and especially the wisdom of the Proverbs. Thank you, baby. Yes, ma'am.
King James.
Mm-hmm.
It says crib. It says what?
Crib.
Crib.
Crib. Great interpretation. Another excellent, you know, you got to remember, guys, the Bible is like a diamond. And when the light shines in it, the facets that shine out of it. Now, don't get me wrong. There are bad interpretations. There's like, no, that's not what that means. But all of the things that were brought up tonight on that verse were just beautiful and perfect. Verse 5, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Let me tell you how that worked in my life. It is the propensity of somebody who got saved to embellish what it is that God has done in their lives in order to bring people to the Lord. But I learned a long time ago, God don't need my help with my testimony. You heard the story when Elena was just a kid. She was going into youth group. It was her day to tell her testimony. Me and Joy were dropping her off. Me and my wife were dropping her off. She was, I think, 12, 13 years old. What's she about, babe? And she was like, man, I got to tell my testimony, but I wish I had a cool testimony like you and Mom. And I was like, no, you don't. No, 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 you don't. Honey, you got the best testimony. You got saved at 3 years old. You've loved the Lord your whole life. Your biggest stumble in life has been cheating on homeschooling, which you were so burdened that she had to wake us up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've not been doing my homeschool. That was my daughter's sin growing up. Cheating on her homeschooling. But just the opposite, guys. I've told you, I know pastors who have written books about their testimony, and it was all a lie. It was all embellishment. The Lord Jesus does not need us to lie. What he's done in your life is wonderful and unique. Don't ever look with jealousy at somebody else's testimony. And if you're telling somebody a story that happened, something that happened, and you go overboard, man, don't be afraid to reel yourself back in. Believe me, sometimes it's the simplest of things that bring people to the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Listen, nobody will tell you more. Arlie, Elena, Nicolina, Jackie. I forget my own name sometimes, not personal. These young women in their 20s who waited and were faithful and got married pure and holy. Man, I would trade that. Any sex ploits I had, can I Is there somewhere I can redeem them for virginity again somewhere? You know what I mean? So, yes, the Lord redeems, and hallelujah that he does, but man, don't ever be afraid that holiness isn't a beautiful and wonderful thing. Yes, agree with that. Surely. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Like telling somebody your testimony, that's not the truth. You're a liar. There's not like God said, well, I understand because he's witnessing for me. No, God doesn't. Don't do that. Good point. A scoffer, verse 6, seeks wisdom and does not find it. But knowledge is easy to him who understands. A scoffer seeks wisdom and doesn't find it. When you don't believe anything, anybody, I'd like to always call to account the teenagers. There's something that happens to a kid, 12, 13, 14, 15, where all of a sudden, the father that they looked up to, the mother that they so adored, becomes like the biggest idiot in the world. It's the craziest thing. You just can't tell a teenager nothing. They know it all. It's crazy, and it's annoying. And here's what's worse, guys. Here's what's worse. This is funny. I was just thinking about this today. When you have a child that was so on fire for the Lord, and then I hear it all the time, it was either high school or college, they go there and they get smart, and they forget. And the lies of the enemy, the lies of the world tell them. It's so sad that now they know the truth. Now, you knew the truth before. Now you're an idiot. It's the saddest thing in the world. To a father, to a mother, to watch your child grow up and have memory verses and then all of a sudden, some schmuck comes along and tells them some lie that they believe and completely shipwrecks their faith. The most miserable, guys. The most miserable. You waited till you got married to have sex? Pfft, you guys are so stupid. What if it was no good? That's what you hear all the time. What if you weren't compatible? We'll take that chance. That's right. But knowledge is easy to him who understands. It's like this. It's the craziest thing. I don't remember exactly when it happened, but I do remember at some point in time, I realized I wanted to talk to people who had wisdom. I wanted to know. Tell me. Like I remember Pastor Bob used to come into my store. He used to come and get his kids' snake mice. And whenever he'd come in, he'd drop some wisdom on me. He told me this thing one time I'll never forget. I was telling the story about something that happened with this guy, and then he went back into the world. I hadn't experienced a lot. I was just young in the Lord. And he said, Ryan, let me tell you about ministry. He said, ministry, you got to get so close to people that they'll hear your heart. But you got to stay far enough away from them so that when they go up in flames, you don't go up with them. And then you got to stay around long enough till the embers are still a little bit hot. And then you got to take a stick and you got to dig around those embers to see if there's anything left so that you can go and blow that fire back on. See, then that is the hardest part of ministry. People that you love, you got to go, no, I'm sorry. I can't run with you anymore. And biblically speaking, they think it's strange when you don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation. They think, what's the matter with you? How come you don't, why? I can't go up in flames with you again. I just can't do it. I mean, I know this is crazy coming from a pastor, but listen, I remember getting arrested for probably the 25th time and looking at I had a kid that I was in the street with. He was my brother. His name was Mike. I looked at him and said, Mike, I can't do this anymore. I'm sick of lawyers. I'm sick of the murder burgers that they serve at Central Booking. I can't do this anymore. Used to be I didn't care. Hey, it was no big deal. Another night, I'll get out tomorrow, whatever. Hire a lawyer. I remember that moment where I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to get arrested again. When the cop came around, I was like, yes, sir, no, sir, okay. And walked away going, wow. That wasn't near as hard as I thought it was. Usually it's like, you know what? Arrest me. You think I care? Makes no difference to me. I'll get out on ROR tonight. Put the cuffs behind my back. I don't care. Some of you guys don't get that. Some of you guys get it exactly what I'm saying. But you need to have that moment. Like, to him who understands, you got to at one point in time just got, you know what? I got to choose a way of understanding. I got to stop. Eye-opening. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you don't perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Now, ladies, that is not an encouragement to leave your husband. Although it would apply to most of you. You got to choose your friends carefully. Can a man or a woman take fire to their bosom and not be burned? If you hang out with an idiot, you're going to be an idiot. Yeah, that was easy, right? The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. This is a little deep here. You got to draw this one down. Prudence, a lost word. Prudence, not just being a prude, which used to be a put down in school to say, oh, you're a prudy baker, you know that? You don't kiss, you're a prudy baker. Prudence is to evaluate a situation and do the right thing in it. So the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. No, if I do that again, for instance, my son at 17 years old got my truck. I had a truck. I bought a truck in 2006. I had it for about 10 plus years. It had 120,000 miles on it. And my son turned 17 and I gave him my truck. Less than a year later, he rear-ended somebody driving down Hamburg and smashed the whole front end in and totaled it. And I said, you want to tell me how this happened, pal? And he looked at me and he goes, yeah. I was texting on my phone and I didn't pay attention to the road. And by the time I looked up, and you talk to him to this day, he will not text and drive. At some point in time, you got to be like, man, maybe I should stop texting and driving. You know what I mean? When you have enough close calls, like how many times you have a close call? Let's not even get into that one. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. But among the upright there is favor. Anybody want to take a shot at that one? That's a little bit on the deeper side too. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. When you don't think anything about sin and you think it's a joke, it makes no difference, whatever sin that you put in there, it could be gambling, it could be smoking, it could be sexual intercourse out of the situation of God's best, or sin also is anything you do without faith. People mock it. Well, you think I care? I don't. Who cares? But among the upright, those who walk wisely, it seems like everything you do turns out right. When the favor of God is upon you. Now the implication, Foolish people have opportunity for sin. Upright people always have opportunity to prosper. Hmm.
I see it the same way, but my brain.
Hmm. Left side. He's a lefty, guys. I want you to know that so we can all mock him.
Like the recompense, the payment for your path, the fool is sin, the righteousness
is God. Excellent. The wages of sin is death. Same, right? Yeah, I agree with that 1,000%. Verse 10, the heart knows, oh, I love this verse. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. You ever tell somebody a story and you're like, you're not getting this one bit, are you? If you tell somebody a story about something that they've never done, you tell somebody about jujitsu. For me, I tell them, oh, it was the craziest thing. I was in the guy's guard. I ducked underneath his arm, took his back, and choked him out. It was the craziest thing. And they're like, No, I've like never done that before. That's wonderful. Like a geeky computer person who tells you something they did. Oh man, it was the craziest thing. I was on the computer and it went into DOS, and after DOS I put in this and I Does DOS still exist?
I don't know.
Does it not even a little? DOS doesn't exist? That, I'm not only showing my age, I'm showing my ignorance with computers. Yes, I'm. Oh, tell. Really? Really? Hmm. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. You guys understand what is happening here? You just sometimes... You don't know what you said. I just hurt your feelings, and I don't even know how I did that. So what's the implication then, guys? The implication is be careful. Be careful when you talk to people, because you don't always know what makes them happy or sad. Be a little bit intuitive and read the situation. You ever have people who don't read situations, and they just walk in, and they just... Whoa, easy, easy, easy. First of all, personal space. Second of all, there's these two words called self-awareness, which you are in drastic need of. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. The implication there is house and tent. The house of the wicked will be overthrown. The tent of the wicked will flourish. And let me paraphrase it for you. It don't matter if you build your house with bricks. If it ain't on the foundation of the Lord, it's gonna fall. And it don't matter if you live in a little tent. If you build it on the premises and promises of God, it's gonna flourish. You guys got that one? That's a good one. I like that one. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Oh, that's a goodie. Todd, go home.
The way that seems right to a man, we do a lot of decisions in our life that are downright stupid that we think are really right, and we deceive ourselves into believing it's right. And so we deceive ourselves by our desires that are on our heart. And we got to be careful, because by that deception, we can be drawn away from what's the most important thing. That goal, our goal of heaven, we got to make sure that we don't deceive ourselves to fall short of what our main goal should be.
Absolutely. So let me give you an example. I know this guy. I've known him many years, and I haven't seen him in a couple of years. And when we were at this reptile convention in Daytona, I saw him. And him and his wife have been together 20 years. They got 3 kids. It was a beautiful thing. And I noticed he was with, I thought, one of his daughters. And he said, hey, this is my girlfriend, whatever her name was, I don't remember. nice to meet you. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. This 40-year-old guy is with like an 18-year-old girl, and he thinks it's going to work out for him. Right. Make sense now? Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. Obviously, does anybody know the correlating verse here that we just read? Anybody? Verse 10 is basically the same thing, guys. Somebody might be laughing, but if you don't have a little discernment, if you're not looking at the center, this is kind of a weird thing, and I don't say this to brag on myself or anything like this, but God has blessed me with this curse as well as a blessing called discernment. I can look in somebody's eyes and see their pain sometimes. My wife always says, how do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. But we'll be at a restaurant or something, and I'll go, that girl's got a broken heart. And she'll be like, how do you know that? I'm like, I don't know. I just see it there. Mick? See what she said? Robin Williams killed himself. You don't know what's going on. They might be the funniest, laughingest person in the world. You just don't know what's going on in their life. A little self-awareness, a little sit back, a little reading the situation, a little personal space, you know what I mean? Continuing. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. I think that's pretty straightforward, and I want to be respectful of the time because we got a long way to go yet. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. Everybody's got that one, right? Really, you know, pay attention to where you're going and what you're doing. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Listen, anger is a snake. If you never heard this before, I'm about to change your life, or not. The more you feed your anger, the bigger and worse it gets. The more you starve it, the smaller and lesser it gets. The world tells you, vent it out, let it out, it's good for you. No, it's not. Because the fit you throw tomorrow, in 2 days, you're gonna need a bigger fit to feel the same thing. I tell women all the time, that man hit you, you call the police today. Today you call the police. Oh, I don't wanna get him in trouble. He gonna hurt you next time. And if you don't get on this thing now, he's gonna kill you. Oh, my wife's not sleeping in bed with me. Dude, are you out of your mind? What are you talking about? Oh, well, we had a fight, and now we... That doesn't get better. It only gets worse. Tú sabes? Good correlating verse. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. I have a general rule in my life. If you present me with something, I need 3 days to answer it. And what do I tell my kids all the time? Arlie, what do I say? Huh? Well, I just, because everything in the Bible, like if you ever look up the numerical systems of the Bible, three obviously significant. He was 3 days in the ground and 3 days in the belly of the whale. Was that, you know, there's threes. 3 days for me. Look, I made this point the other day, and it was, I forget who it was, a very close pastor in my life. It was Ken Graves. What am I talking about? He said, everything in your life should work like Christ. Birth, death, resurrection. And you know God's doing something when it's alive, when it dies, and when God resurrects it. You're in a relationship, and you're not sure if it's the Lord? Fast. Put it away. Kill it. Let it die. Oh, but I'm afraid. But what if he doesn't? But what? If it's the Lord, he'll resurrect it. Oh, I was starting a business. I had this idea. It was a winner. It was such a good idea. And then I forgot all about it. Perfect. Perfect place for God to do something crazy. What if he doesn't resurrect it? Praise God. And you win. You win and you win. You lose and you still win. Like Arlie and Drew sitting back there giggling. Really?
Yeah.
I told it to you 18 times. You're too busy listening to your heart.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Definitely was.
Arlie and Drew had to take a 2-year sabbatical. Was it 2 years?
Yeah.
2 years. Arlie told him, it's never going to happen. I'm never going to marry you. As a matter of fact, let me add to it, I hate you. And look at them now. Nasty and squishy and kissy and blech. That's right. So guys, if you're going through something in your life, business, whatever, birth, death, resurrection. Remember, the death of something in your life should be a beautiful thing, because if it's in the Lord, it'll lead to resurrection. And what's better than that? Amen? Continuing. Where was I? 18. The evil, make it 19. No. Oh, yeah, okay. 18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. I love when he does this. I'm not going to explain the verse itself as much as I'm going to explain the language, because he does this a lot. The writer is Solomon, and he does this a lot. Inherit, crowned. Inherit, crowned. Sometimes you get stupid stuff by rushing into it, by killing everything around you, and you inherit this. But you will be crowned, given as a reward. And he does this all through the scripture, like the tent and the house. Look for those things when you're reading the Proverbs. It's very, very interesting. The way that language doesn't explain itself, but it doesn't have to, because the verbiage itself is extremely pictorial. It's, you know, it paints a picture for you. You see it out there, guys? Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay. The evil will bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The evil will bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. You don't want to get too spooky and too weird about things like that. But listen, you stick to your guns. The man or the woman that is above you now, that is tormenting you, if you stick to your righteousness, they will bow before you eventually. I've told so many stories of the way God delivered so many things that I just took my hands off of it. My love? I'm sorry, babe. Rich man and the beggar Lazarus. If you've not read that story in the Bible, the rich man and the beggar Lazarus. If we had time, I'd go there, but I do want to be sensitive. We're about halfway there. The poor is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Now the interesting language in that is, one neighbor hates him, but the rich guy's got tons of friends. You see how that correlates there? It kind of accentuates the verse. Verse 21, he who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Now, instead of explaining that verse, ever read the parable of the, help me here. Oh, goodness. Who is your neighbor? The Good Samaritan. I don't remember exactly what it is, but there's a story that the Lord Jesus tells about the Good Samaritan. And he tells about all these three different people. And then the Lord Jesus asks the Pharisees, so who is his neighbor? And he never answers the question. But the question does have an answer. And the answer was all of them were his neighbor, but none of them, only one of them was a good neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Anybody you come across, guys. That's your neighbor. We live on a little tiny rock. Do they not go astray who devise evil, but mercy and truth belong to those who devise good? I don't know if you ever do this, but I do this all the time. I could be watching a TV show and see something going on, and I'm immediately thinking how I could have done that better. Like, I'm watching a show, and these drug dealers are making a deal, but then they get caught, and they're like, you know what they did wrong there, right? If they would have hid that dope in a bunch of coffee grinds, the dogs never would have smelled it. And then I'm like, whoa, what am I doing? I'm like, before I know it, my thoughts are down the road somewhere, like, oh. I've got in my phone, I've got in my notes, I've got a section called million-dollar ideas. I have all these ideas that I swear are million-dollar ideas, and if I ever put them into play, and some of them are so wicked. I had this idea for a website where it's an app you put on the phone that stops them from hanging the phone up. So you call somebody, you talk to them, right? And then before they hang up, you press a button and they can't hang up the phone, so you can listen to everything they say after they... $1 million idea, right? $1 million idea. You tell me that wouldn't be... You know how many people would that... You'd have 3 million downloads in a day.
Amazon has that already.
It's what? Let go my ego? What? Oh, no, but I'm talking about where you could hear that. You guys understand what I'm saying? And what did I just read? That's such a wicked idea. Because the truth of the matter is, I'm like completely different. You ever get a phone call and you don't answer it, and then you see that the person left like a 3-minute message on your phone, and you're going to... In their drama, I'm not interested in... Is it back on again now? So now I've taken all the time that I saved. I've wasted on that. In all labor... Lower just a little bit, please, brother. I'm sorry. Thank you. In all labor, there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. I tell this to my kids all the time. In all labor, there's profit. Just work. Just, oh, but it's a waste of time. There's no such thing as a waste of time when you're working. No such thing. Just keep, stay busy. Stay busy. In all labor there is profit, but foolishness, I'm sorry, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Talking, don't do nothing. Working makes money. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. Now, understand what folly is. Folly is the verb of foolishness. You can talk and it can be foolishness, but folly is when you do something really stupid. Like, what are you doing right now? Foolishness, folly. I'm engaging in my folly. What's your folly? Well, right now, you know what my folly is? Listening to 5 minutes of a message that my husband left on the thing and he didn't know I was on the phone. Or the guy that, this is just folly. It's just, you just wasted. Let me tell you what real folly is. Okay? Any minute you spend on Facebook looking up your old neighborhood, the stupidest thing you could, it will lead to nothing good. There was a time in this church for about 10 years, every time I sat in my office, I looked in and I go, Facebook? And they go, you told them. Every marriage was breaking up. Because every dude and every chick wanted to go into their old neighborhood and say, I don't know what my ex-boyfriend's doing. I just, It just happened. I looked him up and then I just liked the picture. That's all I did. He friended me. I friended her. It's all I hear all the time. That's called foolishness in their folly, a fool in his folly. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. Exact same verse as the other one, right? In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. I love this verse because some people think that you're arrogant because you're confident in what God has done in your life. Look, I don't make excuses for holiness. I don't. If you don't want to hang out with me, don't hang out with me. But I'm sorry, I don't do some of the crap that the world does. I just don't. I don't drink beers with my friends. I don't smoke herb. I don't go out to the topless bar. I just don't. I'm sorry if that offends you. I don't watch movies that have sex in it. I just don't. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm not going to make an excuse. Don't hang out with me. That's fine, Johnny. Right. And I'll tell you another one that's most important because they invoke the whole child thing here. And children will have a place of refuge. Guys, parents, understand this. And kids, I hope you get this too. Your kids are born and they're right here. They're right here. Sometime about 7 or 8 years old, they start to walk away. But you can reel them in. Sometime at 12, 13, they're here. 17, 18, they're here. And then there's like 20, 21, 22, sometimes even later. But by the time 25, 26, 27 comes around, man, they're coming back to you. And my daughter at 31 now, she can look at my life and she can say, Daddy, can we talk? Absolutely, my love. Because what you look at in somebody else's life that you judged because you thought it was, well, guys, I'm with the same woman for over 33 years. I ain't saying we got a great relationship, but we're still together. Obviously, I know something. My kids, hey, they might not be the most on-fire believers, but we've avoided, I got 4 of my kids that have graduated college. We've avoided the, you know, the major. Did something right. Because my kids know in the fear of the Lord there is confidence and they will find a refuge in you. What a reason to walk with the Lord your whole life. You think me and my wife have stayed together for this long because we love each other so much? No, we always find a reason. There's reasons. Why are we staying together now? Well, we have to stay together for the kids. What are we staying together now for? Well, because of ministry. What are we staying together now for? Because, and now, we're full circle. What are we staying together now for? For the grandkids. We don't always have, like, all 5. Well, it's because we love each other and we're both Christians. And that don't always work. Because you get really mad and you say dumb things and you hurt each other. And that's sometimes that hurt that you inflict, it takes, like, months or years to repair. And you could just go, you know what, it ain't worth it, forget it. But we got to stay together for this thing. I got to be a witness to you guys. I got to be a witness to my kids, my grandkids, my business. You understand what that? Okay. Just a few more. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. We've talked so much about the fear of the Lord in the last year, but the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, arrogance, pride, and the evil way, the Bible says. The fear of the Lord isn't some shivering in the corner, oh, I'm afraid of God. It's a healthy reverence and understanding that His word is there to protect you. One time my father was at a gas station and a guy told him, hey, that's a, my father used to drive all old cars, 58. One time he had a 58 Olds. And the guy told him, you know what I do with my old cars? I put a half quart of oil in the gas tank and that keeps everything running straight. And my father's like, really? I'll try it. And he put a half a quart of oil and it gummed up the whole system, wrecked the car. And he was just like, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I did that. It was stupid. In a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. Again, he uses that same language to accentuate the difference, but watch. This is very interesting, and this doesn't work in the church, and this is what makes this so special. If you're building a kingdom, you know what makes your kingdom great? Lots of people. But if you're a prince and you're trying to climb the ladder, you know what your downfall is? Nobody's going to follow you. And this is something that do you understand that every pastor that actually tries to make a go at being a senior pastor, every week they struggle with who's going to show up, how they're going to show up, when they're going to show up, what time they're going to be, what time, oh man, how many people are in there? Are there a lot of people out? Like, and then you'll hear from the old, you'll talk to an old pastor, an old salty, my wife calls him salty, you hear from an old salty pastor. Don't matter how many people show up, the Lord is there. Yeah, but I want a lot of people there too. No, you really don't. No, I really do. Why? Because healthy sheep reproduce, and if a lot of people come to church, the Lord's in it. Yeah, that's not in the Bible. As a matter of fact, just the opposite's in the Bible. The Bible actually says that a freakish thing happens if you have a lot of people, that wicked birds will take nesting in the air, in the trees. The Bible actually says in Revelation 2 and 3, you think you're rich, you think you can see, you think you're powerful, but you don't even know it. You're poor, you're blind, and you weak. You guys follow me? Continuing. He is slow to wrath, has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Now, here's the thing about wrath and being slow to wrath. Everybody thinks they're slow to wrath, and when a woman finds out you're slow to wrath, she's going to make sure she tests that theory. For years and years and years, my wife said to me, if you would just stop yelling. And I'm like, honey, I can't stop yelling. It's what we did. My whole family for five generations, Sicilian. We talk with our hands. We yell things. We don't mean it. When I look at the kid, I go, if you put your hand in that plate again, I'm going to stab you in the neck. And the rest of the family looks at me and goes, oh, my goodness. No, we're not really going to stab him. Why did you say that? This is what we say. So when me and my wife used to argue, she used to say to me, I don't want you to yell at me anymore. And I don't know, one day I just got it. So now every time we argue, I start to whisper. Okay, here's the thing. If you say that to me again, I will go into the closet and slam my head against the wall. And then she says to me, oh, now you want to be smug with me, huh? You have begged me for 20 years to stop yelling at you. I yell at you now, and I whisper. And you know what she said to me? This is God's honest truth. She looked at me, she goes, just because you're not yelling doesn't mean, just because you're not raising your voice doesn't mean you're not yelling. And I said, no, that's exactly what that means. Shannon?
Don't look at me with that tone of voice.
That's right.
That's what I said.
All right. That's a proverb. In Shannon's world. Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, can you tell my wife later? And don't tell her that I told you to tell her.
What?
Tell my wife and don't tell her I told you to tell her. A sound heart, verse 30, is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Anybody? Be happy with what you got, because what you got, God gave you. And there's always going to be somebody richer and always going to be somebody poorer. Don't beat yourself up over that stuff. I mean, honestly, if you really want more, you know what if you're really here and you're like not satisfied with your life and you want more out of your life, you know what you need to do? Tithe more. Me and my wife, when we bought a house for $147,000, like right now, that seems like, where would I want to? When we bought that house, you understand, we prayed, we fasted, $147,000. Oh my goodness, our rent was $550. Our mortgage is going to be like $1,100. Oh my goodness. Right? And every dime we had was going to mortgage. And somebody told me this principle. They said, Ryan, if you want to make more money, why don't you tithe more? I'm like, what are you talking? I can't afford to tithe. He said, Ryan, why don't you tithe on how much you want to make, not how much you're making? I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. And me and my wife did it, and God showed up in the miraculous in more ways than just finance. As a matter of fact, I'd say our finances went backwards until 2006, when the property values doubled in a year, and that house that we spent $147,000 on was now worth $250,000. We went, wow, God showed up, didn't he? Yeah, you got it. Envy is rottenness to the bones, guys. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. That one doesn't need an explanation, I hope. The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. Oh, that's a scary verse. Guys, wicked people always wind up in the same place. And you know what that is? Alone. Alone. I used to know a guy who used to say, Ryan, this life ain't for you. This life ain't for you. There's only one ending for people in this life. It's death. There's no retired drug dealers. There's no retired mobsters. You don't go off. They don't give you some sweet country club. Death or jail. That's it. You don't retire. You don't wake up one day, oh, I ain't doing that no more. I'm going to just take my money and ride off into the sunset. Now, since I started using that analogy, I've had a couple of people come to me, oh, yeah, I know this guy. Well, that's good. You know the guy. I don't know many. Almost all of them. Alone, dead, prison. But the righteous, you know what the refuge of the righteous is? Dying. How many times I said this in the last 3 months? Guys, there's worse things than dying. You want to know what's worse than dying right now? Living in fear of some vaccine or some virus. It's worse than death. For us, our refuge is death. We get to be face to face with our Creator. We get our body exchanged for a new one. Ladies, if you've had kids or you've got a struggle with anything, listen, look in the mirror and know that the Bible says when you die, He's giving you a new body. What if I don't like it? That's because you're a woman, you say that. That's why. You see, this is the thing. Women look in the mirror and they go, ew. No matter how, like my wife is the most beautiful thing in the world. She closes the door, get out, I'm taking a shower. It's like, I'm 33 years of marriage. I don't want you to look at me. I look in the mirror and I'm like, Adonis. There he is, with a belly. Guys do that. Look at that. Who does that? Ronnie does that? Who does it? Speak!
Ronnie
does that? At his age? Never met a mirror he didn't like? This is a really good one. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what's in the heart of fools is made known. Wisdom rests fools made known. When you're smart and you're wise and it's truly the Lord, you don't have to say anything to anybody. It sits there. You're not in a rush to tell somebody what you learned. It rests. It rests. It waits. Wisdom waits for somebody to ask. There's an alternate verse to this. It's like in another universe, it says that the wise will draw the wisdom out of the wiser. Like a bucket of water, you're dipping it. That's wisdom rests. But you know what's in the heart of fools? You don't have to wonder, because they're going to tell you in a second. They just can't shut up. You know what I think? I think we should invest in Bitcoin, because Bitcoin's only like $800. That's what we should do. We should all invest in Bitcoin. You know what we should do? Let's all pool our money. I literally had somebody in the church years ago when we were over at the, they left the church over this too. We used to be at the hotel on Hillsborough and 95, and somebody was investing a lot of money in gold back then. They're like, here, you know, the church, we've got like $50,000 in the bank. We should invest it in gold. I'm telling you, like, I would never do that. And they said to me, I'm telling you, it's wise. The church will, listen, I can't take the church's money and invest it. That's gambling. I can't gamble with somebody's money. No, they left the church because I wouldn't do that. And later actually said, if you would have done that, you know, I would have done that what? I'm not like the CEO of this corporation here. This is not what I do. But you could have made money. What? Oh, bite your tongue, woman. Somebody stoned that girl. Well, you know, that is such a simple thing. I've not even... Guys, the church is a nonprofit organization. Wow. Somebody should spread that word around town a little. Crikey, what a simplistic way to put it. That was perfect. Thank you. Where you been all night? Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. There's this great video I sent to Matt and I sent to Austin today. There's this black woman from Chicago, and she's not like a political commentator or nothing like that. She's hardcore ghetto, and she's commenting, though, on her, I guess, TikTok or something like that. She goes, that man said to me, our patience is wearing thin. Yo, Baldy, you think I'm your hoe? You ain't my pimp. You don't talk to me like, I don't care what you think. You don't tell me to go out and get no vaccine. You know why we don't trust you? Here's why we don't trust you. Your patience is wearing thin. This here's America. She's like, I was like, I love this girl. Somebody give this girl a show. Did anybody see that? Show of hands, anybody see that? You want to say, I'll send it to you. It was great. It was. And you see how it fits into that. And then lastly, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. That word for favor, again, could be mixed with the word grace. That word king, obviously, can be mixed with God. God's favor, God's grace, is with a wise servant. All the things we've looked at tonight about wisdom and wise choices and good, listen, I cannot tell you, if you would receive a few of these things tonight and not reject them, and although we're having a good time and we're laughing about it, listen to me, receive these things and walk in them. The favor of God will be upon you. The grace of God will be upon you. You will avoid hassles with your loved ones at home. You will avoid problems at work. And you will watch the fountain of God, the very springs of God flow in your life, man. He will open it up. Pastor Don Dukes used to always say to me, Ryan, got to get up under the spout where the glory comes out. Man, get away from that. Get away from it. Get up under the spout where the glory comes out. Man, well, where is everybody? Where are the people? I can look in 15 people. I usually come, where are you? What do you? You got to get up under the spout where the glory comes. You got to be in church, man. You got to be in your word. You got to be in prayer. You got to be in worship. That's where the favor of God is. That's where the grace of God is. Look, I run a really good business. My business did in the millions last year in overall sales and gross sales, in the millions. Believe me, I say this in all sincerity, I am not that smart. I mean that sincerely. I am not that wise. The favor of God is upon me. And I've hedged myself on every side to make sure of it. When it comes to that box there, God gets his first. When it comes to my lifestyle, God gets that first. When it comes to my marriage, God gets that first. When it comes to this church, God gets it first. You hedge your life in on every side, and then the favor of God, the grace of God, the blessing of God flows in it. And even an idiot like me could run a multi-million dollar business. Right, Marty? But his wrath is against him who causes shame. Keep shaming yourself and keep shaming others and can't figure out why. We got it. We made it, guys. It took an hour, but we got there. Questions before we close? Anybody? Questions about the book of Proverbs? Questions about the Proverbs we read? Anybody comment on it? Uh-oh. You almost raised your hand. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, the wisdom of your word, the comfort of your word, the conviction of your word, the confirmation of your word. And I pray that if anybody's in here that does not know you, God, that just hearing how amazingly smart your word is. God, I think about that section of scripture. God, I wish I would have remembered it while I was preaching, Father, but thank you for letting me remember now. Where the Pharisees said, where did these men get this knowledge? Oh yeah, they were with Jesus. God, may it be said of us, that people wonder how we got this knowledge, and may they know we were with you. Thank you, God, for your word. May we receive it. May it go deep into our heart. May it push out all of our cultures and our preconceived notions, God, our propensities. May the wisdom that we receive tonight push out all the junk. And may it be the power of your word that changes our life. We want to walk with wisdom. Thank you, God. We pray it in your name, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.